Well, I suppose this evening, if we were just to take a verse or two for our message, it would be 15 and what the commentators like to call 16a, the first part of verse 16. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Many people still like to think they can trust religious leaders. Naively, they listen to the wise words that come from the so-called four main church leaders. Or they listen to the words of the Archbishop of Canterbury. Or they listen to the words of the Pope of Rome, and they lay great store by what they are saying. People make programs about it and podcasts and all sorts of things. People will spend hours dissecting the words of the Pope as he travels in an airplane from one place to another, and he makes some pronouncement on pastoral policy that's totally separate, not only from the scriptures, but even from his own church's doctrine. And they ponder upon this, and they take great cognizance of it, and they declare to their listenership and their readership across the world that the church is becoming more friendly toward whatever section of the culture they want to represent. People like to think that they can trust these great religious leaders. History, of course, has proved otherwise. There are some people, even within more local churches, who are not great leaders or high officials in denominations. People who maintain a cloak of respectability, and yet at the same time are doing great damage to the church, doing great damage to the Lord's work, and doing great eternal harm to the souls of men and women. In the visible church today, there are false prophets. There are many of them. And Jesus told us that there would be. And so for a few minutes this evening, I want to look at this little passage where he tells us to beware of false prophets. And then he tells us how we will know them. He kind of starts off by telling us how we won't know them, and then how we will know them, so that we'll be able to be wary of those who are intent on doing damage in the church. So the first thing we want to look at is the great danger that comes from false prophets. And we need to clear up some definitions, and we need to ask what is a prophet and what is a false prophet, and what does a false prophet look like? And then we need to say, well, how then are we going to recognize these people? How will we know the difference between a false prophet and a genuine Christian believer? So the first thing we need to look at is what actually is a prophet. And of course, there are still some people who think that a prophet is someone who predicts the future. Now, that was in the Old Testament, that was a very small part of the work of an Old Testament prophet. In fact, usually it was done without the prophet even being aware that the words that he was saying was actually going to be taken by the Holy Spirit and used to describe some future event, usually done without their full understanding. God was preparing and using their words to prepare men's hearts for what was to come. Prophecy is mostly teaching. It's a telling forth of God's will in any given situation. A prophet, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, primarily a prophet is just a preacher. Of course, nowadays in the modern church, the office of prophet, as they say, has been resurrected along with the office of apostle, and you have churches now that have institutionalized those two offices. They will have an apostle in the church and they will have a prophet in the church. And of course, this is contrary to God's word. The apostles and prophets of the New Testament were part of the foundation ministry of the church. And there are some people in the church also who make a living in the visible church out of predicting the future. They set themselves up as prophets, and they are generally wrong. Their prophecies are false. A while back, a few years ago, there was a book published by a man called John Hagee over in the States, a man who's greatly respected in dispensational circles, on the teaching of the four blood moons. Do you remember that? And the blood moons were an indication that some great cataclysmic event was going to happen in the universe. The moon was going to turn red, and it was going to happen four times in a row. And this has never happened before for such a long period of time. And this must mean God is going to do something in the universe. They were reading signs and omens. And a book was published, and money was made, and lecture tours were held, and people all over the country were talking about these four blood moons. And guess what? The blood moons came and the blood moons went. Nothing happened. But a lot of money was made by false prophets. Maybe the word prophet in that case should be spelt with an F. So what is a prophet? Well, a prophecy is mostly about teaching, about preaching, about proclaiming God's will from his word. But what is a false prophet? Well, there are many, many warnings about false prophets in the Bible. If you look at the book of Acts, just for a wee moment, in chapter 20, you'll see that Paul there warns the church that after his departure, false prophets would enter into the flock. And it's in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And you'll see there the warning that's given. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. I'm telling them to take heed. Even among themselves would men arise, misleading people. To the church at Corinth, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13, he says, such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Referring to false teachers, even appearing to be to the flock to be ministers of righteousness. To the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Peter spoke about false apostles too, false teachers. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. The Apostle John called for people to test the spirits. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And the Apostle Jude, writing of some of those false prophets who had already come, says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. False prophets warned over and over and over again in the New Testament. So are Christians naive? When Jesus warns about false prophets and ravening wolves, when Paul warns about it over and over and over again, when Peter warns about it, when John warns about it, when Jude warns about it, why is it that the Christian church is so taken in these days by false prophets? Well, that brings me to my third little sub-point. What does a false prophet look like? Because you see, false prophets don't stand up with a big placard on them saying, I am a false prophet. Wish they would. They don't wear a uniform or a sign hanging round their necks. They look like Christians. In fact, I'm going to go further than that. And I'm going to say that they look like pastors. Beware of false prophets, said Jesus, which come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, we would immediately assume there, of course, that they're going to look like ordinary Christians, because we refer to Christians as sheep, don't we? But I wonder, was the Lord Jesus thinking of the Christian, of the Eastern shepherd? For shepherds were very, very easily recognized in the land of Israel in those days. Shepherds dressed differently than everybody else. You see, the way that a shepherd was dressed was to prepare him for the outdoor life that he lived. And the shepherd lived off the flock. And when the shepherd dressed, he would wear a coat. And the coat was made of sheepskins. And he turned the sheepskin inside out so that the fleece of the sheep was against his skin to keep him warm. And the leather of the coat was on the outside so that it would keep out the weather. You can see that's obvious. What a warm coat that would be. The coat's not for show. It's not for wearing a sheepskin coat for so that people look at you and say, look what a lovely fur coat he's got on. No, no. The hair of the fleece kept you warm. And the leather kept out the weather. So these shepherds walked around dressed with a fleece on them that was inside out. And their cloak was made that way. And these people are dressed in sheep's clothing. I wonder, are they dressed in sheepskin coats? I wonder, are they looking like shepherds of the flock? People in the towns recognized a man was a shepherd by his clothing. And if they were looking for meat, they would welcome him into the town. They would converse with him, knowing that he was a shepherd. They would regard him as a shepherd, perfect disguise for anyone who wants to harm the flock is not just to come dressed as a sheep, but to come dressed as a shepherd. How many false teachers are dressed as shepherds? Many false teachers are standing in pulpits, looking like ministers of the gospel, looking like pastors of the flock, looking like shepherds, talking like shepherds, shaking hands with people at the door like a shepherd, dressed in sheep's clothing. You see, we can't imagine sheep being overly dangerous. And these false shepherds, these false prophets are going to look harmless enough. Harmless, so much so that you can be totally taken in by them. We went back, a couple of years back, I suppose, I saw a lovely flock of pedigree sheep in a field in County Antrim. You know, they were a special breed. They were Ile de France, I think was the name of the breed. And they had just literally came off a trailer back from the Balmoral show. So they were beautifully combed. And I thought to myself, wow, look at those lovely sheep. I'm going to take a photograph of those. Now, it's not you standing at a gate and taking a photograph. Anybody can do that. So I climbed over the gate, went into the field, got myself down in the grass, got the camera angle just right, got two sheep into the viewfinder of the camera, composed the photograph. It's a cracker. It has sold over and over again. Took the photograph, and I was just getting out of the field when along came the farmer. "Hey boy, what are you doing in that field?" "I'm taking a photograph of your sheep. I'm glad to say they're harmless enough." "Harmless," he says. "Harmless. You're risking your life." He says, "There's an old ram in that field." And he says, "Cross his old neck." See, he looked harmless to me. What I didn't know was he could actually do me a lot of harm. Thankfully, he didn't notice me, or he didn't want to notice me. These false teachers, these false prophets, they are nice people. They're friendly people. They're helpful people. They're people people. They're people with big personalities. That's how they work. They are wolves dressed as shepherds, dressed as harmless sheep, and they have an agenda. They are wolves who are ravenous. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." They have a fierce disposition. They are hungry, and they're hungry for your soul, and they want you to abandon your hope in Christ alone. They want to wrest from you your faith in Jesus for your salvation. They want your soul to be eternally damaged. Why is the church so naive? Because they think that these false shepherds are nice people who are there to feed them, when in fact they are feeding them on the worst of poison. So what can we do about it? Well, Jesus gives us the answer here. Because although these false prophets come in disguise, he says in verse 16 that there is one way that we can stop being naive and start being aware of who these people are. He says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." Now hold on a minute. Because chapter 7 starts, "Judge not that ye be not judged." We're not allowed to judge anybody, sure we're not. Well, no. Not concerning their soul's salvation. but we're most certainly to judge their doctrine. We're most certainly to judge false prophets. We're to be inspectors of fruit. Even though they are in disguise, we are to examine their fruits. You will know them by their fruits. And Jesus applies this teaching using a horticultural reference. He talks about, he tells the people, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth good fruit, not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by your fruits they shall know them. We have to examine their fruits. That may mean looking at their lifestyle. It may be in examining their lifestyle. Maybe some of these false prophets will be greedy. Maybe they'll have lavish lifestyles. Maybe they'll have a mansion or two or three. Maybe they'll have a private jet. Maybe they'll have a lavish lifestyle. And yet they're fleecing the flock. Maybe we'll see that they'll have a lifestyle that's immoral, adulterous relationships. Maybe they'll have a lust for power. Maybe they'll be building a whole church around themselves. How many false prophets stand in pulpits and they have a cult following and people look up to them. And it's them that's getting their praise. And they have whole, big, massive mega churches full of adoring worshippers who are basically worshipping them. And they use their expressions and they use their voice and they use their tones of their voice and they copy their messages. Examining their lifestyle. Are they wanting to build an empire for themselves? And we have to examine perhaps where their ministry is focused. What are they doing? What are they doing about finance? Are they open about finances? Are they appealing to greed? Are they telling people in their churches that if they come and follow them and put their trust in Christ, then they'd be wealthy and healthy and never have anything wrong in their lives? Is their ministry focused on earthly things? Are they using deceitful language? What about their doctrine? Are they twisting and perverting the scriptures? Is their teaching all about me? Do they take every verse in the Bible and make it about me and about you and forget about the Savior? Do they teach that which is clearly contrary to the Scriptures? And the final, most important test is to remember that their doctrine, if their lifestyle and their ministry and their teaching falls short or contradicts God's word, then they are for sure false prophets. We are to examine the fruit of their ministry. Now, immediately we might run into problems there. Somebody said to me not so very long ago, you know, what fruit have you got for your ministry? You preach to a church that nobody goes to. Well, that's not true. There's half a dozen people go to it. What's the fruit of your ministry? When our church has hundreds and hundreds of people, and you're sitting there with your wee holy huddle, they say, and you're preaching away, and nobody's listening to you, and you're having no impact, and you're not changing the world. And not only that, but we have signs and wonders. And we have people getting healed. And we have people who are being risen from the dead. And they have all these extraordinary claims of what God does. And they bring people to you and they say, look, here's Mrs. So-and-so, or here's Mr. So-and-so. And the Lord healed him at one of our meetings, and we'll prove it to you. Do you know that proves nothing? For they come clothed as pastors. In fact, some of the apostles go even further than that. Doesn't Peter tell us that they were false prophets among the people, false teachers? And that say that there would be people who would be able to do great wonders and miracles, who would look like angels of light, even as transformed into angels, who look like every bit the part, who can even do wonders and signs. And they do them by their father, the devil. In fact, doesn't John say, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. Nobody's personal experience, whether their personal experience of revival, or their personal experience of healing, or their personal experience of wealth, or their personal experience of prosperity, none of those things trump the written word of God. So, Jesus warns his disciples. And it's a warning that goes on right through the New Testament. Beware of false prophets. Beware of them. For they'll slip in among you. They look innocent. They look harmless. They look as if they're going to bless you, when what they're trying to do is to do you harm. They are ravenous wolves, ready to eat up your soul. How will you know them then? You'll know them by their fruit. No matter how tempting that fruit may look, it's up to us to reject those who contradict God's word and who fail to preach the gospel and whose lives fall far short of the standards of apostleship and discipleship. May God help us in these days that we live in, these when the church is torn apart by false doctrine. Help us to be discerners of fruit and to have wisdom.